Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Acts 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the interior and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" "No," they answered, "we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." "Into what, then, were you baptized?" Paul asked. "The baptism of John," they replied. Paul explained, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." Then Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But when some of them stubbornly refused to believe and publicly maligned the way, Paul took his disciples and left the synagogue to conduct daily discussions in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that everyone who lived in the province of Asia, Jews and Greeks alike, heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and the diseases and evil spirits left them. Now there were some itinerant Jewish exorcists who tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those with evil spirits. They would say, "I command you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. But one day the evil spirit responded, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. The attack was so violent that they ran out of the house, naked and wounded. This became known to all the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, and fear came over all of them. So the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many who had believed now came forward, confessing and disclosing their deeds. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books and burned them in front of everyone. When the value of the books was calculated, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. So the word of the Lord powerfully continued to spread and prevail. After these things had happened, Paul resolved in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. "After I have been there," he said, "I must see Rome as well." He sent 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed for a time in the province of Asia. About that time there arose a great disturbance about the way. It began with a silversmith named Demetrius, who made silver shrines of Artemis, bringing much business to the craftsmen. Demetrius assembled the craftsmen, along with the workmen in related trades. "Men," he said, "you know that this business is our source of prosperity, and you can see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in nearly the whole province of Asia, this Paul has persuaded a great number of people to turn away. He says that man-made gods are no gods at all. There is danger not only that our business will fall into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will be discredited and her majesty deposed, she who is worshipped by all the province of Asia and the whole world." When the men heard this, they were enraged and began shouting, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Soon the whole city was in disarray. They rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companions, from Macedonia. Paul wanted to go before the assembly, but the disciples would not allow him. Even some of Paul's friends, who were officials in the province of Asia, sent word to him, begging him not to venture into the theater. Meanwhile, the assembly was in turmoil. Some were shouting one thing, and some another, and most of them did not even know why they were there. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander forward to explain himself, and he motioned for silence so he could make his defense to the people. But when they realized that he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Finally, the city clerk quieted the crowd and declared, "Men of Ephesus, doesn't everyone know that the city of Ephesus is guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Since these things are undeniable, you ought to be calm and not do anything rash. For you have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed our temple nor blasphemed our goddess. So if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open and proconsuls are available. Let them bring charges against one another there. But if you are seeking anything beyond this, it must be settled in a legal assembly, for we are in jeopardy of being charged with rioting for today's events, and we have no justification to account for this commotion." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. This is God's word. The city of Ephesus occupied an important place in the New Testament, and here in Acts 19, we read about Paul's first contact with this city. You know about the letter that we call Ephesians that Paul later would write to this church there. Paul also sent Timothy to Ephesus in his place. Later on, Paul also wrote and sent the letters that we call 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy while he was in Ephesus. Finally, Ephesus was one of the seven churches in Revelation that Jesus spoke to. You can see Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 for that. So we read in this chapter the origin story of what would become an important church in New Testament days. Things began powerfully there. Paul arrived in Ephesus and found 12 men, according to verse 7, who were described as disciples, according to verse 1. They were disciples of John, however, because they had not yet heard of Jesus, as we read in verse 4. Still, they were faithful to the truth they did have, which was the teaching and baptism of John the Baptist. God sent Paul to them to complete their discipleship by bringing them to Jesus, as we read in verse 4. And when Paul taught them the gospel, they showed the same signs of faith that the original disciples showed. You can see Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And that the first Gentile believers also showed. You can see that in Acts 10, verses 44 through 45, and Acts 11, verses 15 through 18. And these are the signs and wonders, like speaking in tongues. After 3 months of teaching in the synagogue, according to verse 8, Paul faced opposition, first from the Jews who did not receive Jesus, as we saw in verse 9, and then from Jewish leaders who tried to claim Jesus' power for their own reasons, as we read in verses 13 through 16. Then Paul faced opposition from the idol-worshipping Gentiles, who saw their livelihood threatened by Paul's message. We read about that in verses 17 through 41. God used Paul powerfully, both to do miracles delivering people from Satan's power, as we read in verses 11 and 12, and God used him powerfully to spread the gospel to the region around Ephesus, as we read in verses 9 and 10. But God did all of that in the middle of strong opposition from many different sides. And that seems to be a pattern throughout church history. Wherever God is working powerfully, Satan is always bringing strong opposition from as many directions as possible. It makes sense, doesn't it, that Satan would push back as powerfully as he can, where God is already working powerfully. So don't be discouraged if God is using you in the life of others. There will be opposition, and the enemy will seek to discourage you and derail your faithfulness. Just keep obeying what God is blessing, and keep praying for his power to overcome the opposition you face. If you found this devotional helpful, go to my website, dailypbj.com/subscribe, and enter your email address there to receive a free email subscription. Every day following that, you'll receive an email from me containing a link to these devotionals, and most importantly, a link to the daily scripture readings, so you can be reading God's Word every day, and I can help you apply it to your life through the devotional. This is completely free, and you can unsubscribe at any time, so there's no risk to you. Give it a try. Go to dailypbj.com/subscribe. And if you can help me with financial support, I would very much appreciate that. And thank you to all of you who support me monthly already. But if you want to join them, go to dailypbj.com/support. Please share this with someone else. And I'll see you next time. May God bless you. Hope you have a great day today.